Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Doug hates candy wrappers, creamy baby stickies. He's with 50 as a top or kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see. But Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. Coming to you from the UCB Theater in Los Angeles on Tuesday, September 16th, 2014. Wolf of Wall Street, Fight, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, The Dead Man Walking Tall, The President's Men, and Black Fisher King, Ralph, A Dog Day, Afternoon Delight, Sleep Perfect, Murder by Death Wish, Three Amigos, World's End of Watch, Men Don't Leaving, Las Vegas, Food Law, Jingle, All the Ways, World's Fastest, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doomsday, Zub Thunder, Bolt and Lightfoot, Way of the Gun. Yeah. Which features one of my guests tonight. But before I bring them out, I'd just like to note that I heard from prize bag winner Bill in Lincoln, Nebraska. Apparently he came out to Los Angeles, saw a taping of the show. Sam Levine won on his behalf, I guess, and so he got the prize bag, which included a DVD of the movie The Game, and then Sam and I had a bit of a back and forth about whether or not that movie holds up by today's standards, and here is what my new friend Bill wrote. And I quote, "It's a pretty fucking stupid movie." Thanks for the confirmation, Bill. Austin, Texas, I'm doing a Douglas Movies and a Benson Movie Interruption during Fantastic Fest. I don't know if you need a badge to get in or if you don't need no stinking badges, but you can figure it out. And the same with my shows at Just for Laughs in Toronto on September 27th. I think a festival badge gets you in, but festivals are confusing. Prize bag includes a Douglas Movies t-shirt, a copy of Gateway Doug 2, some cards to get you a free hot dog from Pops. Yeah, and then a bunch of other stuff that we will discuss and work through when I get these guests out here, because I'm very excited. Please give a big warm, and by warm I mean, let's just talk about the fucking hot elephant in the room. The air conditioner is broken. Yeah, oh, you thought we just had it off for fun? Or that it would kick in sometime during the show. Let's play the Leonard Maltin game, and then suddenly it gets really cold. Yeah, the air condition's broke, and it's one of the hotter days of this late summer here in Los Angeles. So apologies to everyone that's here tonight, and I'm just warning the listeners right now that you're about to enjoy a very listless, a very sad experience. Please welcome Leonard Maltin, Shane Moss, and Sarah Silverman.
woke up from such a dream.
Well, can I tell you something? Can I congratulate you right off the bat? Because you're the winner of the Pete Holmes game. And that's which guest is going to speak first.
No.
You win.
Oh.
What did you say, though? I forgot already.
I just woke up like 25 minutes ago from a nap.
That's, you got over here fast.
Yeah. And
put yourself together nice.
You know how when you set an alarm, you can give yourself a little label, like a note on it, and just went, go. Go.
So you raced over here. Oh, good story.
I admit, I didn't want to, nothing.
Sarah Silverman, everybody. She brought...
Thank you.
She brought a Wreck-It Ralph tote bag, a bag thing. This is Wreck-It Ralph on it. And then this amazing thing on the inside of it. Yeah, it's
Oh, look at the
It's a terrarium.
Who wouldn't want a Wreck-It Ralph terrarium?
Why is he on the side? Like, what's he doing?
I don't know. It's broken.
Yeah, it's weird. Oh, there he goes. So anyway, so there you are, Strawberry Shortcake and King Clown. Those aren't their names. And but all the fun characters from... Who were the guys that did the donuts? One of them was Richter, wasn't it?
Adam I think. Carolla was the hot dog.
Anyway, all from Wreck-It Ralph, all these fine figures in this lovely display case. And it comes in a bag. Oh, there's something else in here. What's this?
Oh, I threw that in.
A bunch of toothbrushes?
Death creeps in through the gums, Doug.
I've been telling people that for a while, and
it's true.
It doesn't get me a second date. Also, a collector's edition Blu-ray and DVD of Wreck-It Ralph, and a case that Wreck-It Ralph wasn't enough for you.
It was in that
the
bag.
Ultimate collection, the ultimate collector's edition. That's got like it's got a 3D cover. You and Ralph are like coming at us on the cover there. That's amazing. All right, so that's all of that is in there. But then it turns out, you guys, Mr. Leonard Maltin is here. And he brought the final, the last edition. Yeah, it's called the 2015 movie guide, Leonard Maltin's. And then, the modern era. How long have you been saying that on there?
A couple of years now. since we decided we were modern. No, it was because we put so many older films into the classic film guide, our companion book.
Right.
That we didn't want to mislead people who, like, watch TCM a lot, that they'll find all those old movies here. And they used to, but now it's more in that book.
And the classic guide is going to retire as well?
No, the classic guide we're doing a new edition of for next year.
Oh, there you go.
So all is not lost.
All right. And a lot of these movies will become classic eventually.
Yes, and many of them will not.
Like Hellraiser Bloodline, which came out in 1996.
Exactly.
And you called it a bomb. Strangely enough, it was directed by the very talented Alan Smithy.
Yes. Who has spread his talent among many
many films. Like, yes. How many, have you ever counted them up? How many Alan Smithies
Well, there were a lot of TV movies that we don't cover that have his name on them, too.
Speaking of TV movies, did you love that TV movie, The Girl Most Likely To, that was directed by Joan Rivers?
Joan Rivers. I remember when it came on years ago, but I never saw it.
Oh, my God.
I saw it. It's such a part of my
Channing.
Childhood.
Stalker Channing. It's amazing in it. Like award worthy, but it was sort of overlooked because it was kind of a crazy movie at the time. It was about this woman who just decided to. She got plastic surgery and lap band, or she got everything. So she was turned from an ugly fat person to a beautiful thin person, and then she went back and killed every man who'd done her wrong in her life.
Yeah,
and it was fucking sweet.
No, but it got a lot of attention at the time. You know, because that was when they used to have like movies of the week. Mm-hmm. And it was
that was like the ABC movie of the week,
right,
like on a Tuesday
night. It wasn't
like
a 200 channel universe. So every one of those movies, you know, was very prominent at that time.
Brian's Song was a TV.
Oh, sure,
There's been some great ones. Trilogy of Terror, of course.
Duel with Steven Spielberg's Duel came out of that.
That was a TV movie. Mm-hmm. What's the last movie to be in a Leonard Maltin guide? Like, what's the most recent release that's in this edition?
Actually, what's interesting is the most recent release in this edition is coming out this Friday.
It's already in here?
And it's already in here only because I saw it a year ago at the Telluride Film Festival, and they were supposed to release it much sooner. And the Weinstein Company, as it sometimes does, sat on it for a while, and they're finally releasing it this Friday. So it's a...
That's got to hurt.
You don't want the whole Weinstein Company sitting on you.
Don't go there.
Stop sitting on my neck, Harvey.
It's called Tracks. It's called Tracks.
Tracks?
And it stars the wonderful Mia Wasikowska. And
it's easy for you to say.
Who is good in everything I see her in. She's just a really talented young... She's the one who was in the new Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
She's
been in so many she did her best on that one.
And and she plays a real-life Australian woman who crossed the Australian desert in the late 70s by herself with some camels. And Adam Driver's in it as a guy.
It was just her and a pack of cigs?
You know... I feel that even going further with my description,
people are going to lose interest in this movie you're raving about.
Doomed to failure, but it's a really good
Do you remember
movie.
What you gave it?
3.5 stars.
All right. I'm trying really to find good it, film. But I'm terrible at it.
And you can do this. You used to do this.
Yeah, I used to do it all the time.
It's up there, I think.
Yep, there it is. Bam. 3.5 stars. You called it. And it stars Mia Wasikowska. Eminently satisfying, you call it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right, so that's the last movie in there. So
really
that's a distinction for them. Have they been sent a plaque or something?
No.
Because that's a special thing they should know about.
I'm touting their movie. I hope that's enough.
Can you sign this copy for the winner tonight?
Sure I can.
Yeah. Just write you're a winner. It doesn't matter who it ends up being.
I'll do that.
And the long-ignored Shane Moss is here, everybody.
Hello.
Hilarious comedian who you might remember from one of the most disastrous episodes of the show ever, where I thought a couple of DJs was a good idea, and Shane was there to save it comedically, but it was a weird ass show, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Austin, Texas, mm-hmm. 3 years ago.
That long?
I think so.
And you've appeared on the show here since then.
Yes.
Yeah, and tonight you brought for the prize bag what?
I brought a helmet because I'm promoting safety.
Because it's also something that was in your car.
Yeah.
And you got here and realized you needed a prize.
Also that. And it's way better than fast food wrappers. So.
Some of my favorite rappers choose fast food as a topic.
And I was like, well, me coming out on crutches wearing a helmet, that might be a funny visual for your listeners.
Yeah, the listeners seem to have a really good time with that. Yeah. And I keep getting tweets about it. But you do have an interesting story. It's unrelated to movies, so we got to tell it quickly. But you got into an accident after recently appearing on Getting Doug with High.
Yeah, everyone thought it was right after the episode because I was talking about going.
It was a week or two later, right?
Yeah, it was like 5 days later.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and I went to Arizona to visit some friends, Sedona, Arizona, and I went for a hike. And then my friend wanted to take this shortcut that involved jumping off of a ledge that was too high, and we talked me into it, and I jumped off of a ledge. This is in May, and I broke both of my heels. And yeah, usually when I say that, it brightens the whole mood at a comedy show.
And, hey, it's pretty hot in here, but both of your heels aren't broken, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, your guys' face look a lot like when I had to crawl down a mountain for 3 hours in the desert. but I'm sure you're all suffering without the air conditioning. It seems horrible for you.
Were there any camels nearby?
No, I wish.
Okay.
I'm sure he saw... forget it.
And I was sober at the time, but I had some marijuana from you, and
you had some blackout X pens and we had given you.
Yeah, and I accidentally snuck them into Arizona because I was too high and forgot they were in my car. And then I got down off of a mountain finally, and I was like, "Whoa, look at that! Perfect!" And I got high, and it helped with my pain tremendously. And a lot of people thought that I hurt myself climbing Super Baked after doing your show. In reality, I wasn't high when I did this. Had I been, I would have been too scared to jump off of that thing. So this is actually what happens when you don't smoke weed, is you can break both of your feet.
There you go.
Yeah. So if you had smoked pot, you would have been able to fly. I'm sorry, Leonard. What were you going to say?
Sarah, if you weren't high at the Emmys, you might not have won, right? Isn't that how that works? Like, wasn't that part of the positive energy that brought you the victory?
I want to yes and you, but it's so silly. I'm such a lightweight. I am a openly smoke pot, but just like a little puff or Rooney here and there at the end of the night. Had it in my purse to do so at the end of the night. And everyone made a big deal about it, like I was one of the sea of drunken, scary people that were there.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a really weird double standard. Like, Leonard, you're high most of the time. Let me ask you this.
Who else would produce a reference book for all these years?
You got to really be focused to do that sort of thing. Yes.
You've single-handedly given Doug and I so much pleasure when we were high many years ago playing this game.
Yeah, we would play the Leonard Maltin game instead of trying to move our lives forward in a positive way.
True. We both slept on a couch, the same couch at a friend's house. Mm. And we spent.
Yeah, that was weird, right? Like for a whole summer, and Brian Posehn, who I invited to be here tonight, of course, he couldn't make it because he'd have to drive for more than 20 minutes. But
Doug, can I ask you something?
I understand. Let me ask you something real quick.
Sure.
You also brought some for the prize bag, some Team Maltin buttons that have caricatures from the from South Park.
That's correct.
Yeah. So those are in the bag.
The episode
as well.
That they keep rerunning year after year, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
To me, anyway.
That's the name of the episode?
That's how I regard it, because it was so many years ago.
You get residuals on that, or you're just saying it gives you an extra bump in popularity?
An extra bump in popularity and street cred, yes.
I know you fucking love your street cred, Leonard. You're all about street cred.
When they first did this episode, which I can't even remember how many years ago is, it's where I helped defeat the Mecha Streisand, a monster. And I won in so many ways. They didn't diss me. I was actually heroic. I was portrayed heroically in this episode. They didn't diss me. And it just gave me this tremendous free publicity. And somebody said to me, do they have to get your permission to do that? I said, yeah, they got the same permission they got from Barbara Streisand.
You were talking to a Teamster? Who was that?
He may have been. Can I mention something off topic for a minute?
Please.
Well, all right. I've just moved house after my family and I after 24 years in the same place. And you know that obviously I review movies, and I've done that a long time. But I don't review other things in general. I don't review food. I don't review rock concerts. But I do want to say how appalling the service I've gotten from our good friends at AT&T has been in my move. And I have very little outlet, very little possibility of saying this anywhere, but here on your podcast.
That these I don't people, know. If you tweeted about it, people would probably...
Well, that could happen.
Probably raise up.
I mean, I don't... it's one thing to be lied to repeatedly. It's another to have people not make good on their promises. It's another to have them screw up your lives by not having phone service or internet service, which has been ordered and confirmed, many days or weeks ahead of time. But I don't want to seem like I'm coming down too hard on them. Just as I try to be fair-minded in reviewing a movie, I want to be fair-minded in talking about these bastards.
Have you ever summarized a review that way by saying, I don't want to see another film by these bastards?
No, but I'm open to the possibility.
All right. What's the movie of the time right now, right? What should people see today if it's in their neighborhood at the Cineplex?
Well, when is this dropping? When is this?
It'll be out tomorrow. It'll pop tomorrow.
Well, Friday, there are several good movies opening.
Oh,
this
here
Friday.
We go. Let's get the scoop.
Liam Neeson's film, A Walk Among the Tombstones.
You like that?
I did.
Really?
Yeah, written and directed by Scott Frank, who's very talented as a writer and director.
Cousin Matthew's in it.
Did Scott Frank write Out of Sight?
He did.
I love that.
He mostly adapted Elmore Leonard's book for that and for Get Shorty.
He did Get Shorty also. Probably was not involved in Be Cool.
And he wrote and directed a great film in 2007 called The Lookout, one of my favorite unsung movies with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Matthew Good and a lot of good people.
I haven't seen that. Have you guys seen that?
Oh, it's a terrific movie. It was just before Joseph Gordon-Levitt really became a star. He'd already been on Third Rock for years, but people didn't quite get his name as a young actor, as a
people
young
were
man.
Just, yeah, they were used to him playing a little girl. They eventually had to cut that hair and be a man.
Yeah.
What about...
Anyway, so Walk Among the Tombstones.
Walk Among the Tombstones is really good.
Yeah.
That's exciting because obviously it wasn't dumped in January, but still September is a little bit of a wasteland. It's probably a secondary wasteland of January.
Well, no, we're past the Labor Day wasteland.
But this is an award. This movie isn't going to get awards,
no.
Is it?
No.
But it's excellent.
It's
pulp.
Solid. It's a solid film. It's a sort of a thriller whodunit.
I can't wait. Because it's just the ads, they're just, you know, every movie Liam Neeson does now, it just sells that he's going to kill everybody.
Right. They're trying to pretend it's Taken 4 or
he's
something like
a Walk Amongst the Tombstones. Like, I might as well kill everybody here. And then it's a lot less labor for everybody involved. What about you, Sarah? Have you seen anything lately that's awesome? Or no, that
I
you didn't like?
I watch television. I haven't been to the movies in so long. I
but
watched
you see
Defending
movies
Your
on
Life
TV?
Again. Yeah.
What one?
Defending Your Life, I showed to my boyfriend. He had never seen it, and it's
what
perfect.
Kind of boyfriend?
He's foreign.
Yeah, that's true. And he liked it, loved it?
Yeah, he agrees it's perfect.
Mm. Perfect.
Albert Brooks.
Yeah, Albert Brooks.
We love Albert Brooks.
It really in his stride. But the supporting characters in it, like Rip Torn, is amazing in that movie.
Oh, every single
Everybody's movie. Super good. All right, so that if you haven't seen Defending Your Life ever, everybody, watch it and then get back to us and let us know how great it is.
And there's a great documentary opening Friday called Keep On Keeping On that Quincy Jones is executive producing and is helping to present. And it's a really beautiful portrait of two amazing musicians. One of them is very young, kind of a blind piano, jazz piano prodigy named Justin Coughlin. And the other is very old, Clark Terry, one of the greatest jazz trumpeters who ever lived. And the two of them just connect and fuel each other in so many interesting ways. And we follow them over 5 years' time. And it begins when Justin's in his teens and Clark is in his late 80s. And it goes over 5 years. It's just so moving and so wonderful. Keep on keeping on.
All right. Good luck following that, Shane. What have you seen lately?
Well, first off, I would also like to say fuck AT&T. Because why not? More landlines, more problems. And they do not help you move house. Which is an odd term I just heard today for the first time. I gotta move house, motherfuckers. You mean? Are you the guy on like the highway that's moving the thing is split
that,
in two?
That would have been easier. We wouldn't have had it packed. Yeah.
But I saw. Let's see. I saw Grand Budapest Hotel on Amazon Prime, and I enjoyed that. My mother, father, and sister all hated it, and I think that added to my enjoyment of it. Yeah.
They just don't. Do you think they hate all Wes Anderson fare, or
this one in particular? Mom's review of about any movie that I would ever be interested in watching. That was weird. She's a Midwestern Wisconsin lady, and everything's weird except she loves the worst things possible.
Like what's her favorite?
Not like morally bad things.
No,
like
but just
cheesy.
Something that's terrible.
Oh, she likes a TV show called Under the Dome.
Nothing wrong.
That's
with
not
that.
So bad, is it?
It's
based on Stephen King.
That are stuck in
his
a
life.
Dome.
Yeah, he's stuck in a dome of celebrity.
and she just watches it with her eyes wide open, just like white knuckling every episode, and then
well, because that dome situation could happen to her at some point,
any moment, and then she's just like, that was weird. That's just she says it about good things as well. I just spent the last 3 months living in my parents' basement because I couldn't care for myself. In case you guys wanted a little pick me up.
You're healing all right then?
Yeah. Because it's a heal. Yeah.
Yeah. You probably don't get enough of that.
They follow me a lot.
Let me sign that.
That Doug Benson is such a wordsmith.
I watched Game of Thrones with my parents, and that's uncomfortable.
With your parents, Game of Thrones?
Yeah, it was. I was like, man, I do not remember this cunnilingus scene going for so long. It's just like, this is 15 minutes. This is at least 15 minutes. It's just, it's horrible.
I don't want to take that away from you, but I saw Boys Don't Cry in the theaters with my dad.
What was the funniest thing he said during it?
The whole time he was like this. Oi. 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 Oi.
It's a lot to take in, that movie.
My daughter and I have something like a 15-year history of seeing inappropriate movies together. And there's nothing to be done about it. If you don't know going in, you know, you're not aware that this might be an awkward situation for both the daughter and the father. And then we just sort of, we just shrug, and how do we do it again? Well, we did it again. We're at another one of those movies.
Chalk it up to art.
Yeah, I guess so.
What's the worst, do you remember the worst one? The most uncomfortable?
Oh, gosh. Which one? Oh, Talk to Her, yes. Pedro Almodovar's Talk to Her.
What happens in that?
Oh, when they...
Describe it, your daughter's here. I'd like to put you through the whole situation all over again.
The vivid dream sequence where they walk into the giant vagina, I think that may have been the scene that... That may be
no
the
dream.
Scene she's thinking of, yes.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't know they had any walk-ins. I thought they were all drive-through. Doesn't make any sense. Now it's the part of the show where I say, let the games begin! We've got 19 minutes. Half a tank of gas, it's dark, and we're saying...
Wait, Leonard can't play this game. He knows all the answers.
No,
I'm the worst player at this game.
Really?
Yeah, really. My mind just doesn't sort the information.
Because he's watching another movie tomorrow, and then another one later that same day.
He gave Tracks three and a half stars.
He did know that, yeah. But that was sort of a piece of trivia he's probably been asked about on other shows. In other interviews, because you do a lot of press for this, especially this last one.
Yeah, got a lot of attention online, particularly, which has been very nice, very gratifying.
Edgar Wright posted a very sweet post that he was sad about it being gone, but that he loved that World's End got a good review. Because you really finally cracked your code, and that's his first movie that you liked.
No, not the first, not at all. I like
Liar.
Shaun of the Dead gets a really good review,
too. Oh, that's true, you're right. He does remember, Sarah. You're right. He's pretending to not know this shit. But everybody, please go pick a name tag from somebody in the audience that you'd like to play for and bring it back to your seat. And while you do that, we'll do You Know What. And somebody bring a name tag to Shane. And thank you, Sarah. And we'll be right back. And we're back. Shane had a name tag handed to him by Sarah because he's because of his heel situation.
I couldn't see what it was exactly, and I was like, "Oh, that looks like it might be something interesting." And then I got it, and I kind of want to give it back.
Wait, the guy spelled his own name with ticket stubs from movies. You don't think that's interesting?
Yeah, he used glue and stuff. That's pretty cool.
Let me get a good picture of it.
Now I want to get the guy that had a thing that said jawish on it. I thought that was enjoyable.
Well, here's an idea. Why don't we get his name tag too, and the two of them can, once they've won the bag, they can fight over its contents. Does that sound good?
All right.
No, it doesn't. Nobody likes that idea.
I'll stick
you
with
picked
that.
Ed. Stick with Ed. Sorry. That one, if you bring that back, do you live here in L.A.?
I do.
You do? Yeah, bring that one back. It'll get picked. Paul F. Tompkins will pick it. Sarah, who are you playing for?
Mike.
Let me see that thing. It says Mike on it?
Yeah.
Like a rat that says Mike on it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you draw this, Mike?
I did.
It's really cute.
Good job, Mike. And he's wearing a Doug Loves Movies t-shirt, so I like that. And what do you got here, Leonard?
I went for Yoda.
Oh.
Who was holding a picket sign that says, "Pick Jake, you will." And I did.
You didn't even attempt to do the voice.
No, because I would do it badly. I would do it badly, and then that would just cause more mockery.
Jake, you will. Good job. Good job, Jake. That is a good good name tag.
Actually, Ed picked pretty good movies to put on here, and so I'd like to apologize to Ed.
Oh, wow, yeah.
He's got
God,
good taste.
How does he have these
I mean, he's seen a lot of shitty movies in the meantime, and then put the show-offy ones on here.
How far back did they go?
What's the oldest one?
There's
Punch Drunk Love?
On
here. Punch Drunk Love? Receipt? That's,
yeah.
That's a little old.
Children
that's
of 2002. Men?
2002.
Yeah.
Training Day, 2001.
Whoa.
Love Actually.
That's an Academy Award winning ticket stub.
Yeah, these are very good ticket stubs, actually.
There you go. All right. Well, good job, Ed. to determine who goes first in today's Leonard Maltin game, we are going to do a round of pre-recorded doing lines with Mark. Mark Wahlberg.
How are you guys doing? You want to do some lines?
Has pre-recorded a line from a classic motion picture, and he's going to say it in a second, and when he does, the first one of you that knows the name of the movie, just say it into your microphone, and you'll win this game. Mark?
All right, you guys want to do some lines?
Yeah, we already established that, Mark.
Well, unless you've got a cart hidden in the fat folds of your neck, I can't
help
you.
Hey, that's me!
What's it called?
Wreck-It Ralph.
That's correct. All right, so Sarah, as fair and squarely as it can be done, gets to go first today, and she gets to pick a category, and then we'll go to Shane and then to Leonard. Leonard's gonna take this thing home. Sarah, would you like to play? You say Ferrera, I say Ferrara. The films of America Ferrera and Jerry Ferrara. I hope I said their names right. Is it pronounced America? And it's a Jimmy Pardo joke. Penny Dreadful, which is Penny Marshall movies that Leonard gave 2 stars or less. Mm-hmm. Or at Bugs Bottom on Twitter suggested Snowpiercer, and that's movies where someone is killed by an icicle. Yeah, it's happened. Which one of those would you like to play? America and Jerry, Penny Marshall, or Killed by an Icicle?
Penny Marshall.
Okay. I'm glad you're excited about that one.
I'm not.
Okay.
I didn't like any of them.
Would you like a movie directed by Penny Marshall from 1986 or 2001?
'86.
Okay. 1.5 stars from what's his name? He says this movie is about a computer programmer. He also says about this movie that Michael McKean has an unbilled cameo as a British party guest. I don't know if he's saying that the party was British or the gentleman was British, but he was a British party guest.
I don't know, but I could see the excitement in it. Like, I could see your recognition.
He maybe knows what it is, but this is all about you right now.
Can you say it one more time?
And Leonard listed, let me tell you how many names they listed in the app here. And let me ask Leonard a quick question. When's there going to be a new app?
We're trying to get one going.
Let's get one going and get the game in there as well.
We're trying to
like the reviews and the game. Let's do it.
AT&T is the fucking worst.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't have shit all over them before saying, oh, and also we want to start an app. Okay, so Leonard lists 7, 8, 9, do you remember how many? 12, 15, or I mean 14, 17 names.
Wow.
Lists a lot of names on this one. So how many names do you think you can get it in, Sarah?
16 names.
That's a smart opening.
What is it about a computer programmer that what?
Oh, you trying to trick me into saying what else happens in the movie?
No, it's just about a computer programmer. That's all you said.
And Michael McKean is an unbilled cameo. As you know, the clues are not very helpful. But Leonard seems to know it. Shane?
15.
Okay. Leonard?
12.
Yeah, so that look of recognition, he sort of backed off of that a little bit.
I feel like he's tricking me.
12 is a lot of names.
It's five. It's minus the five leads. If there are five leads.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
1984.
Directed by Penny Marshall.
86.
86, according to everyone. I would have let it slide.
Would you say 12 names? 11 names.
10 names.
Quick bid Shane on the end. This is 10 names, Leonard.
Shane, name that movie.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
I was born in 1980.
Sitting this out.
Yeah, so you were 6 years old when this movie that Leonard Maltin gave 1.5 stars came out about a computer programmer and Michael McKean as an unbilled cameo as a British party guest. I do love how you always mention the unbilled parts and the cameos and stuff. And your, how many names does he get? Ten?
Yep.
Ten names are Jamie Sheridan, Tracy Ullman,
whoa,
Paxton Whitehead, James Belushi, Tracy Reiner, Phil Hartman, John Lovitz, Jonathan Price, Jerome Crabbe. Is that how you pronounce that, Leonard? Jerome Crabbe?
Jerome
Crabbe?
Yeah.
And that's it, right? Is that 10? One more. This was no help. Sarah Botsford.
Did I forget the genre, or did you just not say it?
I don't believe that we say the genre necessarily. It was all directed by Penny Marshall, and she only directed one movie probably in 1986. Mm. So yeah. Penny Marshall enthusiasts have probably figured this out. That is not what this panel is.
I've made a terrible mistake.
Do you think you could name a movie directed by Penny Marshall? I mean, I'm not going to give you like bonus points or anything, but
I do not know who that is.
It happens sometimes. Let me give you a hint. Schlamazel. She was Laverne and Shirley on that show.
Oh.
And then she's
okay.
Rob Reiner's her brother, and she
Gary Marshall's
her brother. Rob Reiner is her son. Her grandson is Alf. It's too hot in here.
Do
you want to guess anything?
Half of those actors is like, I can't believe I wouldn't remember something with all of those actors.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, Leonard gave it 1.5 stars. That doesn't, it's not memorable.
Yeah, 86.
Don't worry too much about it.
No,
I
got nothing.
If we're, are we going to...
Are we going to what?
Can I ask like a good question? Are we,
sure.
Is it over?
It's over, yeah.
Is the lead actor no longer with us?
Oh, no, she's with us.
Now?
Yeah.
I mean,
she tells me almost every weekday to take some time to enjoy the view.
Oh, I know what it is.
What?
It's that Eden movie.
No, it's Jumpin' Jack Flash starring Whoopi Goldberg. Oh, you're right. Now that what's her name back on?
Oh,
she's
Jumpin'
probably
Jack
the one who
Flash.
Says that. Yeah, I haven't seen the view since Rosie came back.
I remember that movie. I liked that movie.
There you go.
Jonathan Price was like her love interest, wasn't it?
Stephen Collins was in it, Carol Kane, Annie Potts. I mean, it was a dream team.
They got Potts.
And that means that Leonard Maltin is on the board, right? Yeah. You challenged. Shane couldn't do it.
I'm a fool.
Yeah. We're going to start with Sarah and then go to Leonard and trying to get this over quickly before anybody melts completely. Sarah?
Yes, my
It's love. Amy Poehler's birthday today.
It is?
Founder of this sweatbox.
Oh, my God.
It was her idea for this to happen to us.
The air guy's on the roof right now.
Yeah, he's
Happy
working on
birthday,
it.
Happy birthday, Amy.
Happy birthday, Amy. And so it's the films of Amy Poehler. Films of Amy Poehler.
Ooh.
Yeah, or this is a fun category, a Prairie Home Companion. That's films that have bestiality in them. Or, spoiler alert, that's movies where someone is run over by a car. And they're suddenly thrown up over the spoilers, I assume. Which one of those would you like to play?
Let's go Amy Poehler.
All right.
In honor of her birthday.
Yes. 2000, wow, that applause was like she just died. 2.5 stars from Leonard for this movie from 2004. He says this movie has funny moments one doesn't usually find in this kind of movie.
Oh.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he says it reverts to formula. But still a cut above the norm. Hence the 2.5 stars. The review might as well have said, yeah, I gave it 2.5 stars. And he lists 12 names. How many names can you get it in, Sarah?
2004?
Mm-hmm. Amy Poehler's in it.
I'll say that I would name that in 12.
Okay. Leonard?
10.
Shane, we switched the order around.
Now I'm getting it. Amy Poehler, big fan. That wasn't that long ago. I'll challenge Leonard.
Ooh.
How many names did you say?
10.
10.
All right. I feel pretty good about a Leonard Maltin win right here. Bringing us in, dare I say, early enough for me to not have to apologize to anybody. Your 10 names.
Yeah.
Are Neil Flynn, Daniel Franchisi, Lizzie Kaplan, Jonathan Bennett, Amanda Seyfried.
Oh, gosh.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Lacey Chabert, Amy Poehler, Anna Gasteyer. And Tim Meadows. I think that's the right amount of names. Yeah,
I should know, but I can't get the name.
Oh, Leonard.
I can't get the name. Can't get it out of my brain.
Come on, Leonard.
You know, for the lack...
You can do it.
For the lack of air conditioning...
Oh, I know. It just it's not making it easier. Sense. Like, if they turn the heat off on Jeopardy, they'd all be like, oh. What is All right, well, I can't say that I blame you because it's a bunch of people in the smaller roles in this film, and maybe you'd recall the title also if you were, you know, at any point in your life a teenage girl, because it's Lindsay Lohan, a classic Mean Girls.
Of course.
Yeah, and Amy Poehler is hilarious in it as her mother. funnier than the real mother, Rachel McAdams. Yeah. I think it's the only movie she was ever in where she didn't fuck a time traveler. Shane Moss is on the board, everybody, with 1 point. Sarah, this is yours to tie up. Sarah gets to pick another category. This time we will go to Shane after Sarah. First option is IMDb. Of course, we all know that IMDb, but these are movies that... these are movies that the title is the initials DB.
Oh.
First word's D, the second word's begins with B. And then Eric R. Stevens suggested, and I've mentioned him many times now because people shy away from this category, Meals on Wheels, and that's movies where there is oral sex in a car. And then a gentleman, I assume, named Benjamin Salas suggested Pi. This is a really interesting one. Pi, and that's a movie that Leonard gave 3 stars and listed 14 names.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. Pi.
Boy, that's precise.
Yeah, right?
That's amazing.
I had to look for that. Didn't take too long, but... still a bit of a search.
What are the first two? I liked one of the first two.
The movie's
IMDb.
Title is the initials
DB.
Or oral sex in a car.
I'll go with IMDb.
All right. Would you like a movie that has the initials DB from, let's see here, 1981, 97, or 98? Apologies
go.
To put your hands together.
98.
Here we go.
My 21st birthday.
Leonard, or whoever he bought off to watch this piece of shit, called it a bomb. This movie is a bomb. I like to say this sort of thing when it happens. It's only 83 minutes long. Wreck-It Ralph is longer than 83 minutes, I bet. Feature films.
What the fuck is that supposed to mean?
Cartoons, animated films are about 75 to 90 minutes, as Leonard will attest.
So is this an animated movie?
No. You narrowed it down a little bit, didn't you?
Is it? It's not.
It's definitely not animated. You just forced a clue out of me. He says about this movie that the director's cut runs 94 minutes.
What's the genre?
The studio cut it down to 83 because they were worried people would be bored from 94. The genre is none of your business. But Leonard also calls it predictable, coldly calculated, and trendy. Yeah, all of those things. And it's the title is the initials DB, and he lists eight people. Eight people stepped up and appeared on camera in this.
I'll name it in seven.
Smart opening bid. Shane?
I feel like it's an easy category, but that description is pure shit.
Congratulations to everyone here tonight who wore shorts.
This is like almost dangerous weather. Like, I'm worried about Leonard.
Did you guys know that Sarah and Leonard made out once? It's a true story.
Look it up online.
It went viral.
I'll challenge Sarah because I don't have.
I love it. I think we got a three-way tie in our hands.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
I feel really good about this, but maybe she'll get it. I have some faith. Oh shit! What just happened? Okay, good.
Do I have a point?
No. You're about to if you get this.
No, I don't see it happening.
Okay.
Let's see.
Here's your 7 out of 8 names: Ethan Embry.
Yeah.
Tobias Mailer. Steve Railsback, Bruce Greenwood, William Sadler, Nick Stahl, and Katie Holmes. This movie's title is the initials DB, and it doesn't have the word Cooper after it.
DB. Oh, huh. Death, diary, data.
You always go right for diarrhea, don't you?
I said diary.
I know, but close enough.
I keep a diarrhea. Dear diarrhea. It's the great Katie Holmes movie...
I'm going to have to call it.
No! Give me it. Dark.
D-B. This movie starts with D-B.
It's called Database.
Oh, no, it isn't. It's called Disturbing Behavior. And the top billed person was James Marsden. And that is a very tough one. But that makes Shane our winner, everybody. He did it. Pulled it out in this heat. Incredible.
He was a heel above the rest. Hey, that's not
doesn't
a saying.
Make any sense. Yeah, that's not even an expression.
That'd be like half an inch or something.
I'm going to do my plug first. It's very simply douglovesmovies.com. Go there, and all my stuff is there. Is there a shithead on the back of your Yoda sign here, Mr. Malton? Yeah, there is. Oh, who's that? And Sarah's are one in the back of yours. Can you pass it down to me there? Thank you. Ed, come get your prizes. Congratulations. Try not to rub it into Giles' face, whoever that guy is, because he almost was played for. Oh, yeah, and there you go. There's a copy. Oh, yeah, I put one in the bag.
Oh.
Yeah, this one's for me, right?
Yes.
Thank you. I forgot to. I was going to bring in an old one today because I think I have one from an embarrassingly long time ago that I was going to bring in and have you sign, but I will cherish this one. Did you sign this one?
Well, let's see if I signed the right one. I signed one.
Oh, you signed one to the winner.
Okay, yes.
This yeah, that's the one in the bag. This is unsigned, so you can still sign.
Personally.
You can still sign that for me. And it's available where people buy books now.
Anywhere books are sold.
Anywhere books are sold, you can get a copy. And anything else you got coming up? You're going to be, here, use the Sharpie. Okay. You're going to be in, Fantastic Fest in Austin, correct?
I'm heading there Friday, and I'm going to be a juror at Fantastic Fest, their 10th anniversary edition in Austin, Texas. And I'm on the comedy jury, which is called the Gut Busters.
Yeah, yeah. I did. I was on that jury a couple of years ago and saw some of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in movies. So good luck with that, because Fantastic Fest is really crazy movies.
Yeah, well, I saw one of the films the other night, and guts were literally busted in it.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, there's a lot of violence and nastiness, and it's a lot of fun.
But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, should be great. I'll be there, and I will say hi, and you'll be like, you know, you'll do that thing when we run into each other in the real world where you ignore me. And then, wouldn't that be weird?
And my website is leonardmaltin.com.
Oh, okay.
All day, all night.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah, what, you got any movies in the can?
I do.
Yeah, what's up? What's coming up?
I don't know. I'm going to be in Austin on Sunday. Are you going to be in Austin?
Oh, that's right. Oddball Festival. Yeah, Sunday at the Austin 360.
Dallas Friday, Houston. Is this coming up over there?
Mm-hmm.
Houston
yeah.
Saturday and Austin Sunday.
Have the Oddball shows been fun to do?
Yeah, really fun. The traveling sucks.
But the huge crowds must be so exhilarating to talk to that many people at once.
It is, because the sound, it's not usually my cup of tea, like 15,000 people, but first of all, it's all headliners, so there's no pressure. Even if you suck, you know that they're getting a great show. And then the sound is great, you know, and that's all that matters. And they have big, you know, cameras with big screens, so it feels intimate. You can be quiet and everyone can hear you.
Nice.
Sorry.
I can't wait to enjoy your quiet comedy. She's
quiet
the librarian
comedy.
Of comedy. Shane, what do you got coming up, buddy?
I have a new Netflix hour special mating season you can check out and rate it 5 stars. Even if you thought it was 4, just rate it 5.
Yeah, watch a couple minutes of it. If you don't dig it, give it 5 stars and move on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's easy to do.
And I have a killer road schedule coming up, Doug. Let me tell you about it. I'm going to Reno and then Livonia, Michigan, and then Myrtle Beach, and then Toledo,
wow,
Ohio after
the
that.
Spots.
So things are going great.
I can't figure out why
things
comedians
are going
kill
really
themselves.
Well.
It's a mystery.
Things
crazy.
Are fantastic.
Well, yeah, well, good luck with that. And and you're at Shane Comedy on Twitter, because
Comedy.
Moss is spelled M-A-U-S-S.
And it's I thought it was confusing to people. And mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah, good call.
Being dead Moss.
Too bad that wasn't on mic. Thank you. That's why you did that. That's why you didn't pick up your microphone. You're like, I'm not sure about this one. Thank you once again to Shane Moss, Sarah Silverman, and Leonard Maltin.
Thank you, Doug.
And as always, Chuck Pagano is a shithead. Sports? Okay. Yeah. You didn't read it aloud, but I get to read it out loud. And then, also, as always, the Uber driver that talked to us about L. Ron Hubbard on our way here is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes on gold, his viewing prowess makes him.